Welcome back to Ed Bigotti, a show of random conversations by people with Bigotti. Sometimes educational, surprisingly insightful, but mostly random and tangential. Today, we are going to talk about passion. And with me today is my friend who's always so passionate, Eric.
Hi.
Are you always passionate, Eric?
No.
All right. But first, before we proceed, I want to talk about passion because I want to apologize. I believe the first few episodes of this season 2 was substandard. Although I want to make this podcast not so serious, but we should also try to set a standard. And I feel I failed that. Towards the end of last year, I was getting burned out from my previous work, and it showed. Towards the ending of season 1, it felt a bit rushed. And at the start of season 2, it felt like it was a chore for me. But right now, I'm trying to find and regain that passion. And no excuses. And moving forward, we are going to make this podcast the best that we can be. All right. So, Eric, how are you this week?
Well, to be honest, I'm feeling pretty beat up. Not because of work, but because of
badminton.
it's gotten to the point where my body, I think, is breaking down because of how often I play now. Mm-hmm. And it hurts, and I'm playing with people who are at a higher level than I am, and it's challenging. It's what am I kidding? It's goddamn difficult, you know.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm glad you found your passion for badminton again. And it's good exercise for you.
Oh, yeah. I lost another kilo, so that's always a good thing.
Well, I hope this losing of weight is not a weekly thing that can be very alarming.
I'm tracking the number of days between each weight loss session. And according to my last weigh-in, it was 10 days ago. So, yeah.
It's fine.
I think it's a healthy pace.
Yeah, it's fine. It's great. You are also gaining more stamina. That can also improve your work as well.
Stamina.
I mean energy overall with your day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I guess you could say that I have a lot more stamina or a lot more energy to kind of leave the office and head straight for the courts.
And also, do we tell our audience about your big news, something that you're also passionate about?
Oh, you're talking about my baby?
Yeah.
This is so funny because I posted a picture on Instagram a few weeks ago and it said, "Hi, BB." And it was actually a picture of a brand new motorcycle, my first ever.
Yep.
So you're never too old to you know, start on these kinds of things. Yeah. And then Gab here kind of caused a ruckus in our Discord server by saying, "Congrats, Eric, on your baby." Yeah. And then our other Nino, if you guys recall, he was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, I have a baby now." I was like, "What?" That was funny because another friend of ours, Jamal, was there. We were hanging out in the old airport and we were laughing our asses off. And then Nino was like, "Join the voice channel. Join call now." It was so very demanding. I have a motorcycle now. It's a maxi scooter. Mm-hmm. It gets me from point A to point B. I mean, it looks nice, sure. And it's quite big for a scooter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why they call it a maxi, because it's quite big.
So are you turning into one of those motorheads? I mean, those people.
Motorheads?
Or those people who are very elitist with their motorcycle.
Oh, God, no, I am not. I'm definitely not. Although I am kind of thinking of already upgrading my upgrading to a new bike as soon as I have funds available. But of course, that's not really financially wise to do so. I'm not a snob in terms of motorcycles, because honestly, if it gets you to where you need to be, that's fine.
Yeah,
I am against modifying mufflers though.
Yeah, that's,
you know, those the noise, really loud mufflers. Yeah. I really hate that.
Glad to hear that there's one thing, something new that you're passionate about as well. And a bit of an update for me, and speaking of motorcycle, my phone was snatched by two people riding in tandem on a motorcycle. Jesus. Overall, it doesn't matter. A phone is a phone. I'm glad I'm safe. There's nothing. I wasn't injured or hurt in any way. Just maybe some trauma. Maybe.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I'm actually, like, very concerned going out from time to time. But the funny thing is, from time to time, I'm like, what do I do with my hands? I have no phone. Well, overall, the hassle was mostly for my accounts, but those snatchers probably factory resetted my phone and threw my SIM out, and I was able to recover my number, so it's fine. All right.
Which is always good, yes. Always,
yeah, less hassle for me to transfer my bank details to another phone, which is fine. So, going back to our original topic, have you met passionate people? I mean, overall, I try to be friends, and all of our friends, I mean, most of all, I can't say for all, but I feel, for me, all of our friends are very passionate on things they care about. But have you met those truly passionate people, those innovators?
Yeah, I have met some passionate individuals outside of our own personal friend group. And it's always inspiring and a little bit intimidating, to be honest. Actually. To kind of meet these people whose achievements are almost bigger than life, forerunners in terms of the things that they're passionate about.
Yeah.
And I'm just, wow, how can I be like you? Teach me your ways, master.
Actually, I met a person, a former office mate. He was very accomplished, and he was very raring to go to do the things he wants to do. But sometimes I actually didn't feel he was passionate about anything. Maybe he didn't show what he was truly passionate about, but I guess because of this passion, he was able to do something with it professionally. Is there a relation to how you could make your passion make you better professionally? But overall, I think being passionate will always make you a better person. But as for me, I am passionate in about a lot of things, but I wouldn't say this passion makes me earn more.
Yeah, that makes sense. Would you perhaps say that he's a go-getter, but not necessarily passionate about the things he was working on? I guess that's a fair thing to say,
yeah, that's
right?
A fair thing to say. Yeah, that would probably describe this person. I've already talked to you about this guy before, because
I
said a lot of things he was accomplished. But
yeah.
Is a go-getter a person with passion in the sense, or it can be not required, do you think?
Not necessarily, because I guess you could say that this person is driven. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because this person is driven towards, say, in this guy's context, towards work, that he's passionate about work or about code or about programming in general. He's just driven. He wants to accomplish this in an efficient manner as much as possible. Whereas for passion, when you call passion projects, it doesn't necessarily mean that you get it done right away or as efficiently as possible. This is something that you genuinely enjoy doing. There are people who I know that are, you know, have some passion projects that they don't really get to finish because they just work on it whenever. And then there are also other people who, you know, it's like, it's kind of like a mix and match. Like there are passionate people who are driven, there are passionate people who are not as driven, and so on and so forth. So I don't think that passion necessarily is something that really drives you, although it can be a great motivator.
Just like with this podcast, I'm really, it's something that's really driven me to somehow make it more consistent. I would like to do this a bit more often, and previously, there have been hiccups here and there because of scheduling. And in a way, I found it surprising that when I was editing some of our episodes, it was really calming. I would say I wasn't stressed. Is it because I was passionate about it? I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure I was having fun with it.
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing, which is having a lot of fun or getting a lot of fun out of what you're doing, even if it's not technically a lot of fun. Like editing for me isn't fun. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just need to get it done. When I had to edit one of our episodes, like, I just need to get this done. That's all I need to do. I'm not an audio guy in terms of editing. Like, yeah. Maybe a visual person, not an audio guy. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you said earlier you met somebody outside of our friend group that was really passionate. Can you share what he was passionate about?
I guess this person is younger than I am. He was one of our interns at a previous company that I worked for. And basically a friend of another office mate of ours, or a classmate of another office mate of mine, who was strangely also a little bit younger than I am. Anyway, there's this zine festival. So to those who don't know, zines are kind of like DIY magazines on a variety of topics that whatever you want to, you know, discuss. So zines, right? And this guy's really, really passionate about it, where he first started out as a solo maker or solo zine creator or writer or whatever. And then it was very successful. And then he said, okay, I have had a lot of success. And there was a little, very small turnout for the zine festival. And he's like, I know personally a lot of artists who can help or who deserve exposure. So what he did was he kind of created a group. He calls it Ugyon, which is kind of union, I guess, is the closest English equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a collection of local artists in the city. And they created this zine to kind of like showcase their skills around a central theme and then sell their stuff as, you know, kind of like exposure and as also as a passion project. And then I was lucky enough that, I'm not sure if this is a legal thing to say, but I required my students to make an appearance at the zine festival. Said, hey, you're going to get bonus points if you get a picture with the creators of the zine. Like, okay. So using my clout, using my students like that, I don't know if that's a good thing to say,
yeah.
But whatever. And then we kind of like got to talking, and then he has all of these ideas. And then I was bouncing off, and he was bouncing ideas off of me, and I was doing the same. And like, yeah, you could really tell that he has a vision for what he wants to see. He wants to start small, but he knows where he wants to end up.
Yep.
And he already knows kind of a rough outline or roadmap of how he's going to get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of broached the subject that, hey, maybe you want, because this is a very interesting project, and I would prefer, I kind of like advocate for this kind of project, saying I want more artists to be more, you know, I want artists to expose themselves more, kind of like an indie art scene. And he was like, hey, you could join. And at first I was like, hey, do you need finances? Financing? I can help out with that. So long as you give me a cut. As usual. And he's like, hey, you know, you write stuff. And yeah, and he's like, help us out. And he joined the group. And we worked on the second edition of the second volume, let's say, of the zine. And I'm just like, his energy is almost infectious, that whenever we're talking, me, him, and the other guy from the office, Nicole, whenever we talk, the three of us, it's like we're just bouncing around ideas. And obviously, the two of them are the more creative.
Yep.
I'm kind of like more of the realistic side, like, okay, so how are we going to finance this, or how are we going to do this and that? And in terms of my marketing experience, a little bit of marketing experience, like knowing how to reach people and stuff like that. And it was a really interesting, whenever we meet to discuss specifically this project of ours, it's sometimes overwhelming. And I'm like, I sit back and I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Let's just go ahead and do that. And then I start realizing, like, wait a minute, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Those are some of the people, you know, who are very passionate about the project.
Yeah, so speaking of age, time has humbled me and made me more appreciative and makes me look at younger people who are more passionate or more accomplished than me. I don't feel jealous of them anymore. Actually, I feel inspired, try to match, when I say match their achievement, I'm not trying to compare, but inspire me to be better. And at the same time, I really like the term you said a little earlier of when you say their energy is infectious. It's the same whenever when I talk to you guys, our friends, and my other friend group. The energy is infectious. We can just bounce off ideas here and there. I know we're passionate. It's just that sometimes there are more passionate people around us. And it's really nice feeling to get to feel their energy from it. That's how they are able to not be overwhelmed when they see a mountain. They just see the steps to get there. However, sometimes we just see the mountain.
Yeah, I'm definitely like that.
And sometimes the main problem for us is seeing the steps. We know what's point B is, but we don't see how we get from point B from point A. Like when I say I want this podcast to be not really big, but can get an audience. But I do like you guys who are listening out there. But I don't really know the steps. Maybe we do know the steps, but we're just not really doing it. Maybe marketing side, but as well, we have the passion. Maybe, like you said, with your friends, you have the creative guys, and you have you, the realistic guy. So you need those two opposite sides to mix and match, form a plan to get the idea off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So those passionate people, like I said with my former coworker, he's probably that person. He's realistic. He knows what he wants, and he's a go-getter. He makes his own ideas and produce them.
I get what you mean. And, you know, I guess you could say that what you're trying to say is that you've grown more mature in terms of thinking about. Because usually when we're young, we kind of get insecure, like, why am I not achieving as many things as possible? And we've already discussed this in a previous episode as well.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we mature and we cheer on people who succeed and try to cheer people up who fail and stuff like that, whatever. Mm-hmm. For me personally, though, I have a lot of passion. Like, I'm passionate for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with me is that I don't have a lot of internal drive to get to realize those kinds of things, like to take a project and lead it to fruition, is what I'm trying to say. So, which is, I think for me, it's important that you also kind of, you know, you have all these ideas, but you also need someone to kind of like give you that push to really make the ideas into a reality. And this is something that I seriously need a lot of help on, because I have a lot of ideas like, hey, let's try this, let's try that, let's try this. But then if you were to leave it to me, I'm like, I'm too lazy to do this. I'm too lazy to do that. So unlike with this guy with the zine, he's like, okay, we talk about let's try this, let's try that. And then he kind of holds me accountable. Like, it's your idea. You have to get it off the ground, and says, hey, can you send me this by this date? And I'm like, oh, okay, wait. Mm-hmm. Okay, how was that supposed to go? And what was the original idea? And like, I start kind of doing my usual thing where I just pull something out of my ass and it's like, hey, this is it. And they're like, hey, that's great. And I'm left wondering, like, what just happened? I don't know what just happened. And, you know, I guess it's a good thing. What about you? Are you that kind of person who kind of needs someone to give you that drive, that push to bring that project from an idea into a reality?
Yeah, actually. I'll give an example with this podcast. Overall, this was just an idea for me because, as I've said previously, I wanted to do something of a video essay of sorts. However, I'm not that good with editing. So, and podcasting has been made easier. And you guys, my friends, all of my friends, just pushed me. And I just did it. Once I got the ball rolling, it was easier to maintain it. The really hard part is always the start. When you have an idea, just stick the plunge. Have fun with it. Because at the end of the day, if you're not enjoying, why even do it?
Yeah, that's true. Basically, kind of, you don't know how this idea is panning out or is going to pan out in the future. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like learning the ropes.
Yep.
Learning how things go and kind of researching. And I guess it comes with experience as well. The more experienced you are, the better you might get into kind of launching ideas and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just start it.
Just do it. Yep.
Just do it. You know, Nike, if you're listening out there.
We want your stuff.
We're open for brand endorsements. Yeah.
But yeah, it also comes with some experiences. Like I said, some failures in my life gave me some of the drive I needed to do the things, to take the plunge. And just like with me moving to Manila over here, it convinced me that going out of your comfort zone is not so bad. Just take the plunge.
What is something that you're passionate about right now that you wish you had a time and or energy for to kind of bring it from an idea into an actual tangible thing? Oh, do you have anything like that?
Yeah, that's easy. It's writing a novel.
Oh, wow.
Or writing a screenplay. Actually, that's two. They are separate in a way. With screenplay, because I've seen some movies and I actually thought I could do better, especially with some PH movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got that idea because my brother's friend also wrote some screenplays and he has them submitted. I'm not sure if they were turned into a movie. And I also had an office mate who had his screenplay turned into a movie. But he can't tell me which one was it, because they think he's part of a ghostwriter team. I don't know.
Oh,
which made me think I can do it, but I haven't done it. And with regards to novel, I've been having this idea for a long while now. I just need to write it down. I should write it down, but the time and drive is not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess in terms of like these kinds of things, like novels and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I guess first, you have to answer my follow-up question.
Sure.
What do you think is a major obstacle from keeping you from realizing that idea of writing a novel?
It's mostly time, because I need the time to write it, of course. And manage to organize my time to be able to work and play, and as well as be able to have the time to do what I'm passionate about, which is also this podcast. And my playing of games is also something I'm very passionate about. It's not just me playing games. There's this game called Dota. I've been playing it for about at least 10 years. By now, it's more than half my life, I guess. And playing it gives me a lot of fun, and it's really something I'm passionate about. And in order for me to achieve another passion project, such as writing a novel or writing a screenplay, it would mean also for me to sacrifice what I'm currently doing right now. It would mean me not making this podcast anymore, or won't have time to play my games, mm-hmm. or I won't work. And
right.
And we need a work for money.
That's true. Because with writing novels and stuff, I guess you could say that time is really an enemy here.
Yep.
But would making a schedule help you, do you think? Like, say, for this, and let's say Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, for 1 hour a day, I will sit down and write. Do you think that would help?
Actually, that would help really a lot, because having a schedule makes you have goals to achieve. And with that, I guess I just need to have the discipline and drive to just go do it.
Having a schedule, yeah, that does kind of help out.
Yeah,
because like in my case, the badminton thing, mm-hmm. it's not just whenever anybody is available.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we set a schedule. Okay, every Tuesday, every Thursday, this is our time play, and on Saturday, this is the time we play.
Mm-hmm.
and it's gotten to the point where everything else is kind of secondary.
Yep.
So badminton has become kind of like this whole thing in and of itself.
Yep.
Where we've also noticed or remarked on it, like, why is it that we're so goddamn addicted? What what is going on? And we were just talking the other day, it's like, the moment that I enter the office, I am already so excited to work because time flies and I get to play badminton again. That's like a warped way of thinking where the promise of playing at the end of the day is what gets you through work. And it's so weird. Yeah, so a schedule helps. And having people who can kind of make you accountable also helps as well. I know someone who is also a schoolmate of ours who recently published his novel.
Oh my God.
In a novel sharing website. I don't know the term.
All right.
But basically, he made a light novel and it reads like one too.
It's fine.
So to those who don't know what a light novel is, it's basically a format of storytelling based on Japanese. And depending on the translators, it can be either very good or very bad. So he kind of asked to make, you know, to edit or proofread his light novel. And
was it good? Was it bad? But overall, I think it doesn't matter. He made it. He made it.
And I told him, hey, it's a good start, but it reads like a light novel. I was so frank and honest. Because I don't want it to make a novel like what you see in mainstream media. I mean, you can make a light novel that doesn't read like a light novel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those who've read light novels know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because light novels have a tendency to be very tell versus show, which is, you know, kind of the basic show, don't tell, right? But
yeah,
most light novels, because of their poor translations, they're very tell instead of show.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, right? And I'm sorry I'm saying this, but our friend kind of reflects the bad translated light novels. You know, his work had the same characteristics. And I told him that. And he's like, hey, yeah, thanks for noticing that, it's because it really is a light novel.
Yep.
I tried to dissuade him, saying, like, could you maybe, I don't know, do better or try a different format? And he's like, nah. Or he's like, yeah, I'll think about it. But then I already knew, yeah, he's not going to do.
Yeah, that's hard. Taking criticism for something you're passionate about is one of the hardest things.
Yeah, and at the same time, I'm happy though. I was recently reminded by a YouTube video that just because it doesn't fit your tastes doesn't necessarily make it bad.
Yeah.
Right? Somewhere, someone out there is going to read his work, see the parallels as I have seen them, and he's going to say, hey, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And apparently there are people who are saying that. He has, I'm not sure, I haven't really checked the website.
Mm-hmm.
If his Facebook posts are any indication, it seems that there are people who are liking and subscribing to his content. And,
that's nice.
You know.
Yeah. In like, I wouldn't say our podcast is the best, but there are listeners out there, and I thank you. So yeah.
Yes, thank you for listening to random people on the internet, or not so random because most of you are ours.
Yeah, and you can also criticize us, shit talk us. I don't care. I just want the views, the listeners.
Wait, you can do that, but please do it in our website. Not really our website, but through our survey form. bit.ly/wetbigotthefeedback. Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't just talk trash to our faces. Do it through the form, at least so that we have a record and we know who you are and we know where to find you and come and kill you. I'm kidding. No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Just probably hurt you really badly. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But yeah, overall, just do it. Start. It's better than nothing because you will always regret the things you didn't do than the things you did do.
So, that's true. So you have to ask yourself, Gab, like, when are you going to start writing that novel?
Right. Rain check. Yeah, probably. So what about you? Do you have those passion projects that you've been holding off?
Well, there's the whole poetry thing,
Yep.
because the volume 3 of volume 1, 2, yeah, volume 3 of the zine, we've already started doing the initial meetings for it and stuff, and I need to write a set of poems for that scene, and I also need to write a children's story because we're transforming the zine into kind of this art book slash children's book, whatever. And people have remarked that my writing is very kid friendly, and this is kind of, I don't know if it's an appropriate thing to say, because I know you, Gab, have personally seen some of the shit that I've written, which is definitely not kid friendly.
Maybe lazy Eric is kid friendly.
Oh Jesus. But something like that, and they said, hey, that's the feedback that we got, so could you write a children's story? And I'm like, okay, I'll make an effort.
Maybe that's your calling.
Oh God, that is so weird, because you have to say, oh, you have to go, you're gonna go like, oh, I have to write kids stories, and then people will read it and say, hey, that's very kid friendly. But and then you meet me, and I'm actually a very, very dirty old man, and it ruffles my feathers a bit. But yeah, so yeah, it's the poetry thing as usual. Anything else? Not really. It's just really the poetry. And yeah, I'm kind of working up the courage to put myself out there. I mean, I've already done it, but it's different, because in volume 2, I already had the stuff written. That stuff that was written, not specifically intended for the zine itself, right? I just had stuff lying around, and then I just compiled that and then sent that off. Like, hey, you have some poems? And yeah, I do have some here saved up, and then there you go. For this one, it's extra challenging because, hey, could you write some stuff for this new collection or this new volume? And like, this time I have to create a piece or pieces specifically for that purpose of putting it on the zine, which is a completely different animal, and it's kicking my ass so much. I actually kind of just remember that I have to do that. It's been 2 weeks since our last meeting. I'm getting flashbacks, and I'm like, oh no.
So, what do you do when you no longer feel passionate about something?
Oh, that is a very good point. You hear a lot of self-help gurus out there, or toxic positivity people saying that, hey, well, whatever happens, it's your passion. You're never gonna. No, that's wrong.
That's true, actually.
That's very wrong. You burn out, regardless if it's your passion or not, is a real thing. And if you're not careful, you will burn out, even if it's your passion. And for that, if you're feeling burnt out and tired or out of ideas, a good advice that I've been hearing and that I myself have done before is just to step back. Take a step back. Yeah. Just relax, do something else, come back at it later. And also accept, this is the most important thing, also accept that you're not going to make something perfect at the get-go or at the very beginning. There's always going to be draft 1, 2, 3, and stuff like that. So just accept that fact. And if you're feeling tired, step back. Don't worry about it. Come back to it after, I don't know, a few days, weeks,
Months.
whatever, months. And then just do it.
Take a break, man. Whenever life or whatever you're feeling weighs you down, you get burnt out, take a break. I guess sometimes I did take a break 2 months, but I guess sometimes other people don't have that luxury. But you should learn how to step back, relax, and be able to slowly gain that energy to be passionate once more. Maybe it won't happen within a day or even a few months, but you need to make yourself recover from that burnout. And being burnout, especially if it's your passion, can really affect other aspects of your life, and especially because your passion is could be what gives you joy in your life, so something you should probably take care.
Yeah, and also don't worry about it if you kind of like say, oh, I used to be passionate about this, but I'm not anymore. That's fine. That's fine. Because you know, people change, people grow up, people become mature, and their tastes change. So it happens, and it's a natural thing. And you can probably feel sad that, oh, I'm sad because this thing that I used to be so passionate about is just doesn't trigger or spark that same flame in me. But I found new things that does the same. So yeah, you know, kind of like that.
It's fine. Overall, we want you guys who find that passion, and if that passion is not making you happy anymore, doesn't give you that same energy it once was, you should learn to let go. I've seen friends getting burned out. I as well have experienced this.
With Dota?
Not really. Well, with Dota as well as work, because I'm also passionate with programming. And there's only so much your friends can do when that happens, when that burnout happens. I've been the friend and I've been the one burnt out, but do know that your friends will always be there as well. And again, just take a break. But again, I do love it that all of my friends are very passionate about things, certain things, and really look, because my friends are also making something big, and I'm hoping what Bigore will be part of that something big. This friend of mine suddenly approached me for a passion project. The energy I felt means that I couldn't say no, and I'm going to work towards making this passion project a success.
It's always inspiring, isn't it? Yeah. To be approached by someone who has these big ideas and is asking for your input, and then you actually have some input, and you have these ideas percolating in your brain, like, yeah, let's do this. And from that alone, I already feel very fulfilled at that stage.
Yeah,
you're bouncing ideas off of each other, and this is great, let's do this, let's try that. It feels as if in that moment in time, your ideas all become, you know, nothing could ever stand in your way. It's impossible.
Yeah, you feel that, like I said, it's nothing is impossible, especially when the person who approached you is not somebody you thought would be spearheading these ideas.
That's always a great, I think that's, for me, that's a great experience, because, you know, like, this person has overturned your expectations of them. So I don't know if it's because of my corporate experience, or I'm just kind of hardwired to think this way. But now whenever, you know, even with the passion, with this scene project and all that, I always ask the logistics, like, how are we going to do this? The hows and the whats and the how much, the when. Because I've been in that position before where I thought that just because I had a great idea, I could make it work. And to be honest, to realize that great ideas or no, if you don't have the necessary skills or know-how or knowledge, it's going to end up failing. It's really painful. Speaking from experience, this is something that I know Gab has intimate knowledge about.
Yeah.
Maybe next time I'll share it to the world. You also have to be realistic and say, not in the sense that it holds you back, but kind of realize the weaknesses that, okay, I have this passion project. These are my ideas. Okay, what are we missing?
Yeah.
What do we need to get this thing off the ground? What skills, what people, what resources are available, etc. So that you know how to prepare for those kinds of things. And you know, you can be realistic and say, instead of preparing, like launching a shopping mall, you just launch a small mobile store for now, then work up to that, the kind of ambition or vision.
But it wasn't for nothing. You got the experience. You're able to guide the guy who was making the scene.
Yeah, after much blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing the people involved in that previous project didn't hold it against me so much.
Yeah.
I can't speak for them, but they haven't let me feel that as if they held it against me. So for that, I'm grateful for their understanding. And, you know, I'm also thankful for the experience.
Yeah. We should always share our experiences with our friends or other people so that we are able to guide and make a collaborative effort to more greater things so that passions won't burn out.
Pay it forward, basically.
Pay it forward.
Thanks for listening to Wet Bigote, a show of random conversations by people with bigote. If you enjoyed this episode and don't want to miss out, follow us on Spotify, Facebook, and Twitter at Wet Bigote. Tell your friends about us and share the love. We appreciate the support. Until next time, you can find the full list of episodes on Spotify on bit.ly/wetbigote. Send us your feedback by going to bit.ly/wetbigotefeedback.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.